Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday on the program, we talked a little bit about this this physician from Cleveland who evidently during an Ohio House hearing came up with the idea that somehow the mixture of the vaccine, whatever's in the vaccine, combined with the airwaves of the 5G technology, somehow creates like a superhero kind of thing where you're now magnetic. In fact, you know, the Twitters went crazy with people filling themselves with spoons and knives and all kinds of metallic things, because I guess we're all metallic now. But the weird thing is there's so many of these conspiracies out there. And the sad thing is somebody thought this was a good idea to bring to a House hearing. So just when I thought Pennsylvania was the craziest state in the country, my former home state of Ohio, you're doing a great job keeping up. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the House hearing that happened yesterday in the Health Committee there in Ohio. I've asked Jake Zuckerman to come talk with us. Jake's a journalist at the Ohio Capital Journal, their website, ohiocapitaljournal.com. Jake, thanks for taking time for us.
No, thanks for having me on.
So am I getting this right? I mean, you got this woman, her name was Tenpenny, Dr. Tenpenny, who came out with this idea that, you know, if you got this vaccine, there's something in it, it reacts with the 5G, now we're all magnetized. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, you got it right. I think the context is important. You know, I think that this bill that she was there to speak on behalf of and speak in support of was, it's a pretty across-the-board weakening of vaccination laws. And there was so much interest that they actually narrowed testimony to select witnesses. I'm not totally sure how they were selected, but the point is this: she was invited. You know, she was told to come. And this wasn't out of the blue. She is full of fringe theories and all kinds of, if you just give her name a Google, I mean, some of the history out there is pretty shocking. And it really raises some questions about why was this person invited, but yeah, she came and she talked all about the risks that vaccinated people pose to unvaccinated people. There were claims involving 5G towers and magnetic waves. And, you know, I want to emphasize this is nonsense. These are not serious claims. These are not real health risks to be aware of. But they were shared to lawmakers as they consider this real weakening of vaccination laws.
Yeah, and I guess she wasn't the only one. I mean, when you open up a hearing like this, you're going to get all of and as you've said, there were probably a line of people who wanted to come and share their nonsense. But, you know, this is, I guess, what we're supposed to do. This is what these hearings are for, I guess, no?
I would argue no. These hearings are for taking expertise and hearing from expert witnesses or ordinary citizens. If citizens want to testify to their experience as citizens, sure. If you want to hear from an expert on vaccination laws, that's a great idea. But what I think gets dangerous is when you bring people in and you identify them as experts, and then you just let them go, kind of like she did, and it embarrasses the state. You know, if we're just being realistic, Ohio is kind of a joke right now, and everyone's putting pictures of keys on their foreheads. You know, and what have we gained? Yeah, there was no actual accomplishment of science there. Nobody learned anything about science. It was just a mockery.
But I'll bet everybody did, you know, take some metal and on the spot where they got the vaccine just to check.
I did it. I
hesitated walking by the drawer where the knives are, you know, just in case, you know. And I'm sure there's going to be some kook story out there that said, no, somebody got stabbed. But this is the weird thing, because, you know, you hear these stories and someone gives them a platform to come out and say this. I mean, as you pointed out in your piece, you had a pastor who was running around saying that, you know, they put formaldehyde and fetal cells in the vaccines, which, you know, is really a stretch from the reality of the stem cell research that went into this.
Yeah, I mean, you said just the right word. It's giving a platform. We know these things are untrue, and we can play this whack-a-mole game of correcting each vaccine myth we hear. But at a certain point, you got to look at the source, and you have to wonder, how do these completely incorrect ideas disseminate? And I think it's a very complicated answer, but an easy way to cut it off would be stop giving people the TV cameras that are in the state house. You know, only invite people you know to be experts. And if you want to bring a pastor to give some kind of religious testimony, or how, I don't know how this relates to a church or a religious group, sure, but there's a real problem when you're inviting religious figures like rabbis or priests to give scientific testimony about a scientific issue like vaccination.
Yeah, I kind of had, you know, I went the other way. You know, the scientific part is one part of it. I don't expect the pastor to be, you know, all that, you know, knowledgeable on the science. You know, maybe he watched a couple of YouTube videos and he got an idea, maybe from Dr. Tenpenny. But, you know, I would go from that whole Ten Commandment thing, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness. You would think they would know that to come into a public hearing and make something up. I mean, it's kind of frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. And it's easy to let, I'd be lying if I acted like there's no humor in the whole situation. But the reality is these are things that people believe.
Yeah.
People are worried about unvaccinated people who are at real risk of COVID-19 right now are now worrying about magnetic waves from vaccinated people. I mean, the fact that people are willing to believe something like that is a problem. And the fact that it will continue to keep them from vaccination is a problem for everyone. It's not just a problem for them.
Yeah. The thing that gets me is, you know, I at one point thought we were probably a little bit more educated than this. A lot of people have graduated from high school. A lot of people have gone on to college. You would think that with a base of knowledge that most people should possess, that a lot of this conspiracy theory, a lot of this stuff would be filtered out. But I guess when you're spending 10,000 hours with your mouth open watching YouTube videos and calling it research, as Dr. Tenpenny said, maybe the sleep deprivation puts you in that position.
Sure. I'd point out that vaccines are kind of a tough sell, you know. I mean, the fact that we don't think about these diseases is really proof of their efficacy. You know, nobody has to worry about measles anymore. Americans don't get, like, polio. Polio is just not a consideration here because we've vaccinated it out of the country. But when you let these ideas proliferate and then they're used to support legislation like House Bill 248, and then all of a sudden fewer people are getting polio shots, it's not rocket science. The fewer people that are vaccinated against polio, the more likely it is that a polio outbreak happens. And these diseases still circulate.
No, you're absolutely right. And but you bring up an interesting point, though, because during the Trump era, during the former guy's era, there was talk of, you know, just allowing it to rage and we'd get herd immunity because people would get it. And it took me back to when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I got mumps, measles, chicken pox. I got all those things. You know, mom was nice enough to take me over to go play with some friends until I got sick. Thanks, mom. I didn't get the vaccines. But, you know, it's one of those things where you start going, well, is that a viable option? And you go, you know, not when it's going to kill off an entire generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should all be starting off from the same place that sickness and hospitalization and death are bad. And it doesn't always feel like we're all coming from that same place. But I just think it's a really important place to go from is that you don't want diseases circulating in your communities. Yeah. You don't want a measles threat where your children go to school.
Especially when you have the opportunity to do something about it. And this is where, you know, we're in a moment in history where science can do some things. And look, we have seen that this vaccine has been extremely safe. I mean, we haven't heard huge numbers of people having really adverse side effects. Most of us don't know anyone who's had adverse side effects, although all of us, I think, have known somebody who was really sick with COVID, and a lot of us know people who have passed. So for me, it's almost kind of a no-brainer. We protect ourselves and we protect others. That's my problem in this. You've got these folks who, you know, they've got it in their mind that, well, I'm not going to do it, and the hell with you. To me, that's also a problem.
Yeah, and you got to remember, I mean, some people, they can't, I mean, they can get vaccinated, but the vaccine won't take, they won't develop antibodies. Some people cannot take vaccinations. So some people have very weak immune systems, and the concept of herd immunity is that the whole herd will keep you safe. If enough of the herd is vaccinated,
right,
the disease just runs out of hosts. And, you know, there used to be, I think, a lot more civic buy-in on that idea. And then the concept of health has gotten a lot more individualistic. I think the conservative ethos has sort of rippled outward on that. So people think of vaccination as something I can choose to do and keep myself safe, or I can choose not to, but not just about you. It is about you as a vector to spread disease along with you as a host of disease.
Now, do you think it's, again, this is a construct of the era in which we live in, where social media is so powerful and we're such a polarized country politically, where, you know, even my son said, you know, it's sad that, you know, my generation looks at someone waving an American flag and we think of immediately Trump supporter. or a crazy right winger. And it shouldn't be that way. You see someone with a mask on, it's almost a political statement as opposed to a public health statement. I think it has more to do with the time in which we live in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're just asking for my opinion, I think staying home during the pandemic was a patriotic thing to do. I think going to get vaccinated to keep our communities free from disease is a patriotic thing to do. You know, it doesn't get wrapped into that like zeitgeist of flag thumping patriotism, but I think that really is the good civilian thing to do in a pandemic.
So now this legislation, House Bill 248, is this moving through? I mean, I look at places like Florida and Texas who are in the process of saying, you know what, you can't ask anybody if they've been vaccinated. You can't do anything to them. Businesses, you have to allow unvaccinated people in. Don't have to sell the gay couple the cake, but the unvaccinated guy who's going to get you sick, you got to let him in. How is this moving?
So it's gotten a couple of hearings quickly, and the chairman, after Dr. Tenpenny's here, after that hearing, said that there were two more on the docket. I wouldn't rule out a change in the plans after the kind of attention that something like this has gotten, and not favorable attention. You know, that might scuttle the calculations a bit. But yeah, this thing really was moving. The chairman wanted to get it out of his committee by the end of the month, which is when the legislature breaks for the summer. So I don't think they're kidding around with this stuff. And, you know, they passed Senate Bill 22 a few months ago, which was I'd call across the board weakening of our public health laws, not our vaccination laws. And they proved their willingness and ability to override the governor's veto on this. So I wouldn't sleep on something like this. I wouldn't write off its chances.
Yeah, and the weird thing is you've got a Republican governor. So, you know, your legislature, your general has gone even further than he is. And to me, that's a little concerning as well. It seems like you're going really off the rails.
Mm-hmm. And I'd point out today, I read this in the Columbus Dispatch, that Mike DeWine has broken his silence on House Bill 248 and came out with some comments against it. The effect, and his comments were reflective of his age. He brought up polio, and he said, I remember when this was a huge problem, and it's not a problem anymore, and that's because of vaccines, and we shouldn't lose sight of that.
Yeah, my generation was the first one that didn't have to worry about that. But people a little bit older than me, you know, they tell the story. Look, you know, they knew people who suffered from polio, and because we vaccinated and did it in a way where, like you said, it's a patriotic thing. You know, we don't have that nowadays. Do you think I guess the question that I have is, do you think that, you know, you go back to through the beginning of this, that people were surviving? So, you know, I know a bunch of people who think they had it. Oh yeah, I had that back, you know, months before everybody else did. And they think they got through it. It wasn't a big deal. Do you think that had a lot to do with the reaction, or was this just, in your opinion, just purely a political, I'm on one side of the fence, you're on the other side, and we're going to choose our sides.
You know, I mean, I think if you look at the data, there's definitely some evidence of a partisan split here on vaccination. I don't think that's the whole picture. You know, I think that that's certainly driving a piece of it, but frankly, people my age aren't getting vaccinated. I think that's less of a political thing than them seeing COVID as not a risk and just not really buying into the whole patriotism vis-a-vis vaccines idea. You know, I think there's some people who just can't get off work or can't risk feeling crappy for a day. And we have an economic system that doesn't give everyone paid time off or doesn't give people the time to go get vaccines. I think like 20% of Ohioans don't have a car, so there's no vaccine provider within walking distance or on a bus route, then what? So I think there are access problems, but yeah, I think you got to really have blinders on to be missing the political split here on the back data.
Now, you know, what you talk about, your generation is, you know, not, you know, maybe not doing it. And I would think you're a young guy. I mean, you know, the survivability of getting it at your age is clearly something that you're going to take into consideration. Because, you know, when I was your age, middle 20s, I was invincible. I was bulletproof. That was my mindset. So I guess I'm not so surprised at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, only speaking for me here, but what really scared me was the idea of seeding an outbreak. You know, if I got COVID, I mean, I might not be fine, but I'll probably be fine. But when you read some of these medical reports, the stories are all kind of the same. Someone is doing the stuff they know they shouldn't do before symptoms catch in, or an asymptomatic carrier, but either way they go in, a bunch of people in whatever bar or wedding they went to get COVID, it ripples out, someone's grandparents died. I mean, do you want that? Do you want that to happen? Do you want that on you?
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And I guess it shows how we are as a society where, you know, for decades, we've been talking about hooray for me and the heck with everybody else. Greed is good. The one who dies with the most toys wins. This hooray for me culture. And this, I guess this just is, you know, part of how that's manifested. So what can we expect going forward with Ohio? What's the next bit of craziness that we can expect that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, I mean, there's a budget moving, and virtually anything and everything can find its way into a budget. I think House Bill 248 is a pretty big deal. You know, one thing we haven't touched on here is that Ohio schools already have fairly weak vaccination laws. They say that you can exempt yourself from vaccination laws by reasons of conscience. And this bill would basically require schools to amplify the word about that exemption and make sure every parent knows it.
So have they gone the route to where the schools can't mandate the vaccine yet?
That is a part. Actually, no, I take it back. That's not a part of the bill. No, so school vaccine, because that's its own separate section of code. So colleges would not be able to mandate the vaccine under the bill. But no, schools would still be able to mandate it, but would have to honor the exemptions for reasons of conscience, which is kind of a catch-all term.
Because we saw a story just recently where a medical facility is laying off, you know, like 150, 170 people who aren't getting vaccinated or haven't. And have said, look, if you don't get it, you're fired. And our law allows that. Is there something moving in Ohio that is going to undo that like we see in other states?
It's funny you mentioned that. Also in House Bill 248, it would ban hospitals or nursing homes from requiring that their employees get vaccinated. I mean, that's not just a thing that's specifically written into the bill, is hospitals and nursing homes. So, you know, you want to talk about a vulnerable population where vaccines might not take, where you really got to hope that nobody's carrying that virus around. Nursing homes would be exempt from any sort of compulsory vaccination laws.
Crazy, crazy stuff, but I'm glad you're there to report on it. And thank you for sharing the tenpenny story. I got a lot of laughs out of it, but also a lot of concerns. But keep up the great work there at the Ohio Capital Journal. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Reading anytime.
Good stuff. Jake Zuckerman. Make sure you check out his work, capitaljournal.com, the website. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.